This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Our voice, preserving our stories. Join Caroline Vogels and Jess Moorhee for an insight into the lives of our community elders. Joy 94.9 gratefully acknowledges the support of the Victorian Government and Public Record Office Victoria for making this project possible.
Reverend Joy Etwell grew up in Wellington, New Zealand, and attended a local Christian school. At age 21, Joy relocated to Melbourne and studied a Bachelor of Theology at the Baptist College of Melbourne. Joy has spent over 20 years working in aged care, has been the pastor at the Metropolitan Community Church, and now Joy is the clinical officer and chaplain's coordinator at the Victorian State Emergency Services. In 2009, Joy received a commendation for service for her work in the Marysville district following the Black Saturday bushfires. Joy and her partner, Reverend Dr. Gwen Ince, practice what they preach, advocating for and embracing the GLBTI community and opening their own home to help people who have found themselves with nowhere to live. Welcome, Joy Etwell, to Our Voice.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, Jess.
Thanks, Caroline.
So just before we kick off and start to hear a little bit about your life, Joy, we just thought it might be nice if you could discuss some of the terminology with the listener and Jess and I. We hear there's lots of words, priest, reverend, pastor, chaplain, vicar. A, what do we call you? And what are the various terms? Are they different? Are they...
It depends on the denomination, I think, mainly. If in the Catholic Church they have priests and some of the Anglican they're called priest as well. We're called reverend or pastors. So it's basically the same thing. If you're a pastor, you're actually a reverend and you have done training in that area.
And vicar? Is that a more a UK term?
Or? Yeah, I think it is. Like the Vicar of Dibley.
Yeah.
I model myself on her.
Couldn't be
She's
bad.
She's fabulous.
She is.
Truly fabulous. So what do you prefer to be called?
Joy.
That's easy, isn't it?
Yeah, we like that.
So, Joy, you and I have something in common, both being Wellingtonians.
Yes.
I believe you were born and raised in Petone.
I was.
Tell us about your childhood in Petone.
It was fabulous in one way because my parents lived in... We had this huge house and my parents lived in half the house and we lived in the other half. Mm. And so I got on so well with my grandfather especially and spent many hours sitting with him in front of the fire listening to stories and playing cricket in the backyard and putting the cricket ball through their bedroom window and, you know, all those fun things. But on the other hand, it was a very difficult childhood because my parents were part of a religious cult, as were my grandparents, but they were less, I think, adhering to what the religious cult preached. So we were dragged off to church nearly every night of the week, and you sat there and you got berated because you didn't do this right and that right, and we had to go to this school, which in the loony bus we called it. I know that's not politically correct, but that's what we called it, because it was this old bus, and it was always breaking down, and then I'd miss the bus, and so what happened was, you're at the school, and if you got in trouble at school, they would take it back to the church, so you'd then get in trouble at the church. And it was pretty awful upbringing in many regards, but I think for me, my grandparents sort of saved the day, because we laughed a lot, and I think that saved it. So
did that give you a negative view on religion, or was that just something that, oh, my parents are making me do this? And how did you feel about it growing up in terms of having to go to church so often? And
but that was your life. You knew nothing else. It's like any religious cult. You are insulated. You didn't mix outside of that group of people.
Mm.
Even within that group of people, you were not encouraged to have friends. So basically your life was you went to church.
Very cellular.
Yeah. So you didn't know anything else. You didn't know that there was a different sort of lifestyle until we moved to Auckland, and they only had a smaller church up there. I suddenly took myself and got myself a job, which they didn't want me to do, but that was a whole other story. And I suddenly realised there was a different life out there.
Mm. How old were you then, Joy?
I was 18 when I moved to Auckland, when I finished school.
And your schooling was at a religious school as well?
Yeah, it was their school.
Right.
It was very small. It was up in the hills of Wellington. And you basically did what subjects they said you could do. And females were not to go on and do any higher education.
Mm-hmm.
You were to get a job with one of the women from the church. You were then to marry at the age of 20, and you would leave work and have produce children. That was basically what your life was going to be.
Mm. How did that sit with you growing up?
Not good, because I always, from the age of about 5, was labelled a nonconformist, a rebel,
yeah,
a troublemaker, they called it. I like to use different terms. From the age of 5, I said I'll never get married and have children. Now, of course, I didn't know why in those days, but looking back, you know, he was this little baby lesbian growing up, but never knew that that's what they were. So that was always didn't go down well with them. They, oh, yes, of course you're going to get married. And they had a guy lined up for me to marry. Isn't that lovely?
It's great that you didn't have to go looking for one.
No, you only had to marry those that they said you could marry.
Right.
So Tim and I were going to get married, but I just didn't quite agree with that. So he found someone else.
Mm.
Now, you've brought a song along, Standing at the Foot of the Cross.
Standing at the Foot of the Cross is a new song out by a lovely lesbian woman called Natasha Holmes. She was from Hillsong, now is part of Crave MCC. She wrote this with other gay and lesbian people. It was produced by a gay man called David Whitty. And I just think it's a wonderful song and wonderful anthem that talks about gathering in love at the foot of the cross, and that's what we need, all gay and lesbian people who want to still hold on to their spirituality, to be able to do.
You are listening to Our Voice with Caroline Vogels and Jess Moorhee on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Our Voice with Jess, Caroline, and special guest Reverend Joy Etwell. Joy, it was obviously you were very moved by that music. Tell us a little bit about why you're so emotional about that.
I find music really speaks to my soul, especially music like that. And for me, the fact that that come out of our community speaks even more to me. And the fact that I believe that God loves us all for who we are. And I want to get that message across to other people out there who are struggling.
Mm.
Because you hear these horror stories, and I heard one recently about a young guy who went to his minister here in Melbourne and said, I'm gay. And the minister basically told him that he couldn't be, that he needed to be healed. He needed to go off and have therapy and whatever else he needed. And that young man went out and suicided.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Now, for me, that is just absolutely criminal that anyone could do that. And I've been through that. Mm. I've been thrown out of churches for being stand up and saying, this is who I am. Mm. And I'm a strong person, luckily. But there's a lot of people who it absolutely wounds and they can't see how they can go on if they can't have their faith and their sexuality. So for me, a song like that is just so affirming, you know, that we've all got the right to go and stand at the foot of the cross.
Mm. So it's a lead-in, I guess, Joy, to talk about. You came to Melbourne at about 21 and then you studied at the Baptist College of Melbourne. You studied theology. So
there was a lot of things led up to that. I sort of went rather wild, which was fabulous, wasn't it, for a fair amount of time. And I was drinking and going out and sleeping around. You know all the things that bad girls do. I thought I should try that.
I wouldn't know that.
And I wasn't even aware then that I was actually a lesbian. I'd never heard about lesbian gay people. And then I thought, oh, I'll try this church and just see what it's like. So I started going back to churches and exploring, but I soon found out that all they want to do is heap guilt on you, you know. And in fact, I went to this Baptist church and they wanted me to sign this thing saying I couldn't drink, I couldn't smoke and I couldn't have sex outside of marriage. And I felt, well, there's nothing left in life really after all that. So what does one do?
Dominoes.
So you drifted in and out. Oh, you know, you weren't allowed to gamble, so you could play as long as you didn't gamble.
Cool.
On the outcome of dominoes.
Yeah,
but there was no cards and there was no, you know, betting on the horses or going to the pokies or anything like that. So it was all about rules and regulations, and I really just am not good at those. I buck rules and regulations. And then I found out by – I was working with this woman and I had this amazing attraction to her and thought, oh, whoops, what was that about? And I thought, oh, no, I'm one of them. And by that time, the only way – time I heard them talk about gay people was when they put sinner next to it, condemned, you know, all that negative stuff. And I was going to a Church of Christ by then, and it was a charismatic, and I loved the worship, and you know, I had made some good friends there. And I just thought, oh no, what do I do here? So they sent me off to Exodus to get made straight, and that was a really good failure, really, I think, on their behalf.
How old were you about then?
Really? I was about 30 then, and so I thought, well, what do I do now? And they virtually told me I had to leave if I wasn't willing to change. And I said, but this is who I am. You know, I'm a lesbian. I'm not in a relationship. I'm trying to work out how to be a lesbian and how to be a Christian. No, it wasn't good enough. You know, you're a sinner. If you're not willing to repent of your sins, then we have a process. So they called me to meet with the minister and a witness, and they were going to put me up in front of the church. And so at that point I just said, thank you, no thank you, and I left. And that was fairly devastating, because what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And then I started going to another church, and I walked in and I said, I'm a lesbian. Do you have a problem?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to raid up on my motorbike with my leathers. I mean, it was pretty obvious. And no, that's fine. But, of course, eventually they did start introducing me to people who had been lesbians, but through God's love had been changed. And these were these poor women who were married, who had kids and couldn't even look me in the eye. They just, which is really, really, really sad for them. And I was studying at, just out of interest, studying theology. And the woman in one of the lectures said one day, you know, homosexuality is not wrong. And I went, whoa. You know, and she said, God loves everyone. And she said these amazing things. I'm thinking, whoa, you know, I've not heard this before. And after the lecture, I went and to her office and I sat down and said, for the first time, I'm a lesbian. And so she sent me to MCC.
Oh, right.
And so I got involved in MCC and started then eventually working towards becoming a minister with them.
Yep. So just to clarify, that's the Melbourne, the Metropolitan Community Church?
That's right. And that was a church that started in America about 40 years ago by Reverend Troy Perry, who was a Baptist minister and was fired for being gay when he found out he was gay. And he started this church with 12 people in a little house in Los Angeles. And, yeah, so now it's a worldwide church. And it initially was for gay and lesbian people. Now it's probably what we more would term a human rights church. Mm. So we fight for the rights of people. We do have straight people attend church.
Yeah.
We have a lovely woman in New Zealand, David Longy's daughter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Emily, who is now in the process of becoming a minister.
That's fantastic. David Longy was a prime minister in the 80s.
Yeah, and her and her husband and the mother all come to MCC.
That's wonderful.
So it is a church that is for our community, but also beyond our community to and fight for people.
You were later to become the pastor of the MCC.
Yes, I became the pastor of MCC Melbourne in Richmond. So, but I was there for about 18 months, and I guess due to theological and ministry differences, decided to leave that.
So you're talking about the challenges of your connection with Christianity and also trying to connect and become cohesive with being a lesbian. What are the day-to-day challenges of those?
I don't find it challenging anymore. Mm. I had an amazing experience, and it probably sounds a bit weird, but I was at a church that is not that was a charismatic church. And they were worshipping and they were singing, "Be Still and Know That I'm God." And I was worshipping. And I had been going through a terrible time of, God, how can I be a lesbian and be a Christian? You know, these people said initially they accepted me, and now, you know, we're 6 months down the track and they're putting pressure on me to change. But I don't believe that I should change. You know, I believe this is who I am. And it was just agonizing. I spent so much time, you know, listening to music, praying, crying, just soul searching. You know, how can I be this person you created? I believe you created me to be. Anyway, they were singing the song, and I just knelt down where I was. And I had this experience of knowing without a doubt that God loved me for who I was. And that no matter what I'd done in the past and no matter what I'd do in the future, that God loved me. That allowed me. And there was no light sirens, you know, poppers, champagne corks. It was nothing like that. It was just this very still experience that stays with me still.
Mm.
And at times when it's difficult, I can reconnect into that and just remember that God loves me, that no matter what I do, that God loves me for who I am.
Mm.
I wish I could pass that on to anyone who's struggling with their sexuality and spirituality.
But I believe you do, just because the way it emanates from you and just, you know, your whole being. I'm sure that does relate. You would relate to other people. You're on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Our Voice. Our special guest is Joy Etwell, and you're joining Jess and Caroline.
Joy, can we talk about how you met your partner?
Yes, I was at college, and I did some of my subjects over at the Uniting Church faculty, and I was doing a reading paper on homosexuality in the scriptures, and I was looking at the scriptures from Romans, and I was getting a bit stuck on that, and I was in a class with a wonderful woman called Denise, who I still am in contact with. She's a Uniting Church minister now in the country. And I said to her, "Oh, look, I'm really stuck on this." She said, "Why don't you go and see Gwen Ince? She's a lecturer here." You know, I'd never come across her at the Uniting Church. I said, "Oh, okay." So I made this appointment, knew nothing about Gwen. Sitting there waiting. This person come up, and I thought, no. They kept on going. And then this woman come up. I thought, "Oh, now that's cute." And I'm thinking, "Oh, well." And she sees this, you know, this woman in leather jacket and sitting there waiting for her. So that was sort of the beginning of the end, really. Wow. We started emailing each other, and then we decided to meet up. And I missed about two lectures while we were sitting at the university club sipping on drinks. And then I sort of didn't know if she was interested. I was, oh, I don't know what. Because, I mean, I hadn't even asked her if she's a lesbian, but I didn't know. And anyway, we decided to meet up again for drinks, and she was talking about how out I was. You know, I am who I am. And I said, oh, you know, is that going to be a problem for you? And she said, I'm not sure how my mother will cope. And I thought, yes. So that was basically it. Yeah. And we had a holy union 6 months after we met, which is like our version of a marriage. It was interesting because we had a Baptist minister give the eulogy. Eulogy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Homily. We had a United Church minister do prayers. So we had all these other ministers at MCC. John Fowler, who was a minister then, he did the service, but that was a fabulous day. And so we've been together, 11, I think.
I think I got that right. She's counting on her fingers here.
No, I need to take my ring off and look at the back of it. It's got the date.
So you never expected to get married and have children. But I do believe you've had your marriage in your eyes, your ceremony, and you've got a house full of children or young adults.
Well, yes, we managed to somehow end up with them. About a year ago, I was here at Joy, and I was asked by one of the other presenters if I knew of any crisis accommodation. I said, and they tried all the crisis accommodation, and they were just laughed and said, no, you know, 3 months. And he said, oh, we got this young guy who hasn't got anywhere to live. And so I rang up Gwen. I said, oh, can I bring this young man home for 3 weeks, I was told. Well, we still have him.
He's quite gorgeous too.
He is. Yeah, that's Kane. So he's a lovely young man. And then in September last year, we just got back from holidays, knock on the door, there's this young girl there, and this guy unloading a car, and I said, and she said, can I come and live with you? And I went, what?
So the word's out.
Yeah, on Facebook. Yeah. And the stepfather said, we don't want her. She's nothing but trouble. And I said, she looked very young. And I said, how old are you? Because I'm thinking, oh. Mm. And she said, 19. So I said, okay. So she moved in and she's still with us. And she's about to go back to school, which is really exciting.
Fantastic.
She's
doing
a bridging course and then looking at doing year 11 and 12.
Oh, great.
And wants to go to university, so that's great. And we had a young Vietnamese boy whose parents were going to lock him in his room until he prayed his gay away. So we went and basically rescued him, two carloads of us with bags, and all the neighbours standing watching, and we think, police are about to turn up and we're going to be arrested. But no, we got... But he's been able to go home, which is really great. So that's... sorted out for him, and we have at the moment another young woman, a straight woman, whose grandmother didn't want her. I think, you know, Asian grandmother just became too much to have this wild young girl living in the house, so she ended up with nowhere to live, and so we have her. And, of course, various friends, partners, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever.
Well, I know where we'll be headed after the show.
Open home.
Yeah, everyone over to Joy's, I think. You're on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Our Voice with our special guest, Joy Itwell.
Joy.
Joy. 94.9.
You're listening to Our Voice. This is Caroline. Our special guest is Joy Itwell, and we have Jess in the studio. And Joy, you brought a song along, When Life Gets Broken, by Sandy Paddy. Tell us about that song.
This is a fabulous song. I've talked about relating to songs, and sometimes at an appropriate time in your life, you just hear a song that just says what you're feeling. And after I left my ministry in MCC Melbourne, I was at a pretty low time, not knowing what I was meant to be doing in the future, and thinking, I've gone through all this training and what the heck am I meant to do now? And I heard this song and I thought, wow. Because sometimes you can't say the words. You know, all you can do is cry, and this song spoke to me, and I did a little bit of research and found out that Sandy Paddy had gone through a really difficult time. She had actually had an affair with one of her backing singers, and the Christian community had turned their back on her. Now, she was a well-known Christian singer. You know, she was straight, but she had fallen in love with one of the guys who was backing her, and she went through an awful time, and now she's finally come back. And this, I guess the words in this just spoke to me so much about where I was at that time.
Hi, I'm Carol Wilkinson. You're listening to Our Voice on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Our Voice on Joy 94.9 with Jess and Caroline, and our special guest today is the Reverend Joy Etwell. Joy, you've taken us on a bit of a theological journey in terms of finding where best fit you and your faith and your belief. Before the break, we were discussing when you left your ministry at MCC. Well, what path did that take you on next?
Well, luckily, when I my partner and I lived in the country for a while, and one of the things I did when I was down there, we were living in a great little town called Port Fairy, which is on the coast and absolutely gorgeous. And in order to meet people from the community, I mean, they all knew within 5 minutes that there was two lesbians had moved into town. But for us to actually meet them, I joined the state emergency service. And then when I moved back to Melbourne, by the time I moved back to Melbourne, I had joined their peer support program, which provides psychological support for volunteers. I mean, as a volunteer, we go out to some pretty awful accidents and other things. You're dealing with some pretty awful stuff when you're out there. And what peer support does is goes in and sits down with a group of people that attended and just encourages them, goes through a process to get them to talk about what they saw out there so that they can start to process it and to try and lessen the reactions they might have to that.
I might just advise some listeners may not be fully aware of the Victorian State Emergency Service and the wonderful work that they do. And I know that there's about 5,500 volunteers and only about 160 paid staff. And you obviously attend to all the natural disasters. But a big part of it you alluded to was the road rescue work that SES does. And they do some tremendous work, especially in outer Melbourne, but also in the country where they're first responders. And I think it's important to note too that the SES in worldwide has some of the – they actually win a lot of the championships when they actually do road rescue events. It's really an amazing organisation that you're talking about.
And often too now in the city is that our units will get called on to do crime scenes, to do lighting for crime scenes, to do suicides, especially where, you know, often it's a train versus a person.
Yep.
So even in the city, people are attending pretty awful incidents.
Yeah.
It's a huge cost to people to be a volunteer with SES.
Do you yourself have supervision or peer support that you talk to people for your own?
That's up to the individual. Mm. For me, when I was, I think the worst time was the bushfires. Mm. My colleague and I went up the day after into King Lake and then up to Marysville. And I worked in Marysville area for 6 weeks. And it was just beyond words of what, you know, what it was like up there. But for me, I had a friend who's a minister and I would talk to him every night on the phone or even if we could just SMS. And when I came back out of that after the 6 weeks, we actually wrote a liturgy. Him and I wrote it mainly by email. And then we actually went to the chapel at the Uniting Church faculty and we actually... him and I did that liturgy around letting go and some healing of what I'd seen. So for me, that's what works. Mm-hmm. For other people, they will go and have counselling.
So what would you do on a day-to-day throughout those 6 weeks? What would your day look like?
I would go to the staging area in Alexandra and just check on any of our members that were there. How were they? What were they doing? I would then drive into Marysville, which, of course, was closed still at this stage, but there was a lot of emergency services workers in there. And I would base myself at the staging area there. And as they came back in from searching, I would be there and they would just come and talk to you. Basically, you listen.
Mm.
They would want to... One guy, I went on a search for a body with him because that was the only way that I knew he would talk to me. and we walked a kilometre through burning bush with lots of dead animals everywhere, and found a campsite. We didn't find the people. Unfortunately, they were found later in their car. But all we knew it was a campsite was there's some poles, blackened poles on the ground, and that's how. And we walked back to the vehicle, and then he asked me to drive around the town, and he told me what he'd seen in each place. So you hear the stories, and they want to take you and show you. And then when people were able finally to get back in there, they want you to go to their home so that they can, oh, this used to be this and this used to be that, and you know, finding bits and pieces. And one guy found one little coin that wasn't burnt, and he gave that to me.
Oh, wow.
And that was just so moving and so incredible that he would, he said, I want you to have this for all that you've done for us. So I still go into Marysville. I'm going in next month. And I still meet up with those people. And, of course, on anniversaries I go in and spend the anniversary with them. Even after 3 years, it's still pretty tough.
Yeah, there's a lot of people still struggling on a day-to-day basis up there.
You're listening to Our Voice on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Joy 94.9, Our Voice with Jess and Caroline, and our special guest is Joy Etwell. And just prior to the break, we were talking about your involvement, Joy, with the Black Saturday bushfires, and you were awarded a commendation for your work in the bushfires. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
I was awarded a commendation for service by, that's a State Emergency Service Medal, and that was presented a couple of years ago, I think. Isn't that awful? I can't remember. Members of the units, most of them got a commendation for bravery, the ones that had worked on the day, which how they survived and what they did was incredible. You know, especially the Marysville people that I've had a lot of contact with and heard the stories that they were the last vehicle out and, you know, fire was virtually at the back of their vehicle and they kept on stopping to get people, tell people to go and get them out. So, but yes, my colleague and I were both awarded that for our work.
Incredible.
So what does the award entail? Is it a actual medal?
Yes, it's an orange and white medal. I've actually not ever worn it, I've got to confess. And it did go missing, but it's now safely in the bottom drawer. I'm not saying what bottom drawer, but it's in the bottom drawer somewhere. Displayed in the bottom drawer.
So you are listening to Our Voice on Joy 94.9. If you have any feedback, comments, you just want to connect with us here on Our Voice, you can head to the Joy website, which is joy.org.au. Go to the Our Voice page and there are details there for how you can connect with us via email or via social media. Joy, we've asked you to bring along something today that holds some significance for you. Are you able to describe what you've brought for us?
I've actually brought three things. I know you said one. I brought that little coin that I talked about earlier,
fantastic.
So I won't talk about that. I brought some little pebbles that a friend of mine gave me, and they're from the Isle of Lesbos.
Wow.
And he gave those to me when I first, a beautiful man named Tim, and he gave those to me when I first started working towards ordination with MCC. And so they've been on my desk throughout the journey. And there's five of those. They're gorgeous. And the other thing is this little bottle of coloured sand. Now, I went to our church conference in Acapulco. I mean, it's really sad, but someone has to do this, make these sacrifices. And they had, at the beginning of each worship service, they brought in a bowl of coloured sand. So it would be, they brought in a bowl of red sand or green sand. And on the last service, they mixed it all up and then they gave everyone a little bottle of that multicoloured sand to take away with them.
Fantastic.
Lovely.
Well, I'm pleased that you've pushed the boundaries and brought three things along. Good on you, Joy. I think it's you've been doing that since you've been about five, and I'm glad you're still continuing. We love it, the memorabilia, don't we?
Yeah, it's my favourite part. Yeah. We'll take some photos of that and pop that up on our social media page.
Yeah.
I told Kane I was going to bring him along as my first son.
And what did he say?
He gave me a big hug.
Oh, that's really so lovely.
We did have the pleasure of meeting Kane prior to coming on here, so that was nice for us.
And you can actually hear Kane when the Asian Pop Experiment comes back to Joy, back onto the grid. He does some great work with Jace, our production manager here.
Yeah, they're just having a grid off.
Yeah, you need that. But he said he's building the webpage, so stay tuned for that. You're on Joy 94.9 on Our Voice. Joy, I've heard some rumours that you're commencing something called The Portal.
Oh, yes, these rumours might be true. Oh. This ministry has been sort of floating around in my mind for a couple of years now, and finally it is going to happen. And I put in what we call an emerging ministry application. We had to do a feasibility study and we had to develop the whole idea. And what it is it's going to be in the city, and it's going to hopefully be in a cafe that on a Friday and Saturday night initially. And it's going to be a drop-in centre for young GLBTI kids and, well, young adults really, and their friends. We will have different things happening there, including a very different style of worship service on a Friday night that people can engage in discussions rather than someone preaching. We'll have the loud music. And there's a great Bible out called Manga Bible, which is in the anime Japanese style, and I've got a hold of those, and it's very different, and you've got to get stuff that young people relate to nowadays. So that's we're working on that at the moment. I'm trawling the alleyways of the city trying to find appropriate venues. So if you see me lurking in alleyways.
So what are you looking for? Are you looking for someone to assist with a space as well?
If someone's got a space that we could use on two evenings, that would be great. We thought we'd found the perfect space, but then we found out it wasn't quite safe on a Friday, Saturday night at that space. So we've got to keep looking. So I'm looking for a cafe that's open during the day for maybe breakfast and lunch, and then closed in the evening, and that we can open it up and have it as our space, and, you know, have the internet access and music and,
Well, as Jess alluded to, if you have such a space and you'd like to let us know at Our Voice, just go to joy.org.au and connect with our social media page and get that across to Joy. That'd be quite a joyful thing to do, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Provide that.
So we have another track that we'd like to play, or that you would like us to play, and I'm certainly not complaining. I believe it's from the gorgeous Katie Lang.
Yes, I mean, how could you have a program without the gorgeous Katie Lang and, of course, the beautiful track called Hallelujah.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Gordon Wilson. Our community, our stories, our voice, Joy 94.9.
You're in Joy 94.9 listening to Our Voice with Jess and Caroline. We've got Joy Etwill in the studio with us today. And Joy, we're going to hit you with some hard and fast questions.
No, I'll see what I can do.
First thing that pops into your head?
Well, that's always a worry. Can't always say that.
We can censor. Who is your favourite GLBTI icon?
Oh, that's a hard one. My favourite. Horse.
Oh, nice. Anita will love that. If you could invite three people to dinner, either living or past, who would they be?
Nelson Mandela, because I think he's the most amazing guy. Piggy Muldoon, who used to be the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who's absolutely fabulous man, and Katie Lang, so she could sing to me.
If you could be anywhere in the world, where would you be right now?
Venice.
Mm. And name one thing on your bucket list.
My bucket list. I think I'd like to go back to Mexico.
Joy, what makes you laugh?
Most things. I don't know, life, really. I mean, I was quite named appropriately, I think, because I do find things funny in life most of the time.
And if you could go back in time to any decade, which decade would it be?
I don't think I'd want to go back in time, quite frankly. I think I like this decade.
What's one word that you would use to describe the last 10 years of your life?
Fabulous.
Oh, great.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset with a glass of Shiraz.
Is there any job you'd like to attempt for one day?
Prime Minister.
What's your favourite hobby?
Land yacht sailing.
Say that again.
Land yacht sailing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we'll need to hear more of that in a minute. And what's your favourite film?
Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, I love it.
What? There may be several answers to this question, but what's the most outrageous thing that you've ever done?
Sat on a bar stool with Peggy Muldoon telling really bad jokes.
What has been the best experience of your life?
My wedding, marrying my partner.
What would you say to a young gay or lesbian, transgendered, bisexual person if they were thinking about coming out? Would you give them advice? How would you support them?
I think I would say to them, get someone who that you trust and can talk to go on the journey with you. Don't be pressured to do it. Do it in your own time and in your own way. But make sure there's someone there if it doesn't turn out as well as you would hope for.
And Joy, what's your star sign?
Scorpion.
You've been listening to Our Voice with Caroline and Jess. Our special guest has been Reverend Joy Etwell. Joy has taken us on an incredible journey of faith and also has talked about her deep involvement in the Marysville community, both during and since the Black Saturday bushfires, whilst working as a pastor with the Victorian State Emergency Services. Thank you, Joy, for sharing your story with us, and we wish you every success for your new GLBTI youth project, The Portal.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Our Voice on Joy 94.9. For more information, head to joy.org.au to connect with Our Voice online.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.